Today is Reformation Sunday, and in many Protestant churches today, that is observed. Now, what relevance does an event have from the 16th century have to do with the world of 2024? You're talking 500 years. I mean, they didn't even have cell phones then, did they? I mean, it's an amazing change. You just think about the span of your own lifetime. I mean, of what's been going on, you know. Used to, growing up, newspapers were about the most relevant thing we had to get the news. And then television started bringing in Walter Cronkite, or Huntley and Brinkley. You remember Huntley and Brinkley? And those were the days. But we would have never imagined such things that's going on today. It's almost scary to think how communications have just bombasted us with everything. You know, I remember years ago watching the when they used to shoot up rockets up with astronauts in, and the Gemini and then the Apollo, and they'd have show NASA and show the computers, and they would cover a whole wall as big as this sanctuary wall. Now, that computer would be the size of a chip, a computer chip. See how things have just... Now, some of it's for the good, and some of it's not so much for the good. But does it really matter, about celebrating an event that took place 500 years ago? Well, some things last, and others do not. I haven't used the illustration from this book that's my favorite other than the Bible in a long time. You remember in Gone with the Wind when Scarlett O'Hara's father, Gerald, offered a most profound observation as he confronted his 16-year-old daughter on the evening before John Wilkes' 12 Oaks Plantation barbecue. After being reprimanded by Scarlett for desiring to bequeath her a farm called Tara Plantation, Gerald then told his ungrateful child that land is the only thing which lasts. It's the only thing worth fighting and worth dying. Well, it's certain that the land, regardless of geography, will be here long after we're gone. But there's something which will outlast the land. And you know, that is God's truth. It's been around for centuries, for eons. Think about that. You ever think about what this prophecy is going to look like in 1,000 years if the Lord delays his return? Wonder what's going to be here. Space age, whatever, McLeod in cyberspace or flying saucers coming in. I mean, we have no idea. But we do know this, as I just said a little while ago, technology has developed so rampant, I'm kind of concerned what's going to be in 10 years. You never know. 20 or 30, what won't matter for all of us here in 40 years, because we'll all be in heaven by that time. But there was an episode in Jerusalem, as recorded in the Gospel of John, which I just read, when Christ said to those who had believed him, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, Luther read that, and it sort of opened up a plethora of thoughts in his mind. Christ assured those believers, as Christ assured Luther, that they who truly are his followers and disciples shall live with God forever. Take comfort in that. You know, with the aches and pains and all the other different issues and problems we have one thing that will never evaporate or leave us, and that's God's grace. Think about that marvelous thing. Yes, a lot of things are just temporary. We call it contemporary a lot of times, but things sooner or later wear out, and they seem to wear out faster now than they used to, you know? Even the land we walk on won't last forever. However, the truth of God shall never change nor erode. Ever since the dawn of history, human beings have been on a quest in search for truth. Yet even the very word truth defies explanation. When the world's first couple, Adam and Eve, ate the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, and some of you were here other night for the Bible class, was it an apple she ate? We think so, but it's never actually mentioned. So when you go home today, if you think about it, get your Bible out and look in Genesis. It just says fruit, but we can call it an apple or anything. But I'll tell you one sure thing. Meat eaters didn't suffer from it. It was a vegetarian that was offered the fruit, you know, and everything. Think about that too. But, you know, the serpent encouraged Eve to challenge God's truth. God told Eve, as well as Adam, don't touch the tree of knowledge. And guess what? You know, when you tell someone, such even as a child, don't touch it. You know, a lot of times, you know, and I'm sure it happened to all of us growing up when mother said something like that, the stove is hot, don't touch it, it will burn you. But guess what? We'd go ahead and touch it anyway, wouldn't we? A lot of things, temptation gets the better part of us. If you say don't do it, the opposite will happen. So sometimes, what do they call it, using psychology, just play psychology, and it probably won't happen. But the serpent nudged Eve not just to challenge, but to question God's wisdom and her own faith. It was this moment that our first parents discovered that the search for truth should never seek to separate us from God. You see, I was reading something the other day, Emma Thompson, she's an actress from England. And I was reading, she and her husband have done a lot. They've adopted children from third world countries. But you know the most shocking thing? She said, I am an atheist because I've read the Bible and it's nothing but killing, 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 and disaster upon disaster. And she says, I just cannot believe in a God who would permit those things to happen. I think she's misreading the scripture a lot right there. I've decided to pray for her that she will discover the truth through God's grace. But that's the thing about it. A lot of people say they're atheist or agnostic because intellectually they can't accept something like what God offers us, that it just doesn't reason out or rationalize out. Well, I'm one of the most reason-minded people around. But guess what? My reason says I wouldn't have that reasoning if God hadn't put it there in the first place. So, you know, a lot of times we think that we can be more intelligent than our Creator. But that's not going to happen. I've read the Bible through many times. I've studied great people through the centuries. And none of them have been able to outdo God. And that should give us comfort to know God really loves and cares for each of us. And God wants the best for all of us. But as remarked earlier, this Sunday is when many Protestant churches celebrate the words and works of Martin Luther, who sought to know what was true about the Christian faith that eventually hatched the Reformation movement. I guess one of the closest things to a Reformation thing that Luther faced, I faced it once in Brazil. I used to love to go visit the old churches down there. They've got beautiful old colonial churches. A lot of times there's gold gilt inside of them, and they had Delft tile and all kinds of beautiful statues and all that. And I would go in there and admire the historical relevance. Well, outside there was a man. He was selling little trinkets and little things. And he said, this would help my salvation to go to heaven. And see, that's what they did in the church in Martin Luther's day. And he said, you can have this and wear it over your heart so you'll go to heaven, you know, like that. I said, in Portuguese, I don't need it because I already have Jesus Christ in my heart. Well, he looked at me like a wire-haired fox terrier with his head turned sideways, you know. Now, am I belittling the man's religious faith? No, I am not doing that. Don't hear me out. But he did not at that time discover the truth, and the truth shall set people free. And you think about that. The truth has set probably all of us here free, because we acknowledge that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for the sins of the world and for our salvation. So, you know, scholars and theologians have desperately desired back in Luther's, even before Luther's day, to share Holy Scripture to all who wanted to read and study it. However, the religious authorities stifled their efforts. They burned manuscripts, imprisoned them, and executed the Bible translators. They had a lot. I mean, back then, you just did not do it on your own. Martin Luther cringed at the very idea of creating a movement, starting some new faith or denomination. He wanted to discover the truth that would liberate people from false doctrine and superstition. You know, it's amazing how a lot of people are very superstitious, and they place their faith alongside of it. And I think fighting superstition is worse than fighting the devil many times, because you have to go through all that entanglement and trying to, you know, tell them, no, this is not the way it is. But most people that who are superstitious never actually come to that point of discarding it the way they should. Luther realized that it was Scripture alone which would guide people of faith confidently through the confidently through life's joys and sorrows. All that is required and needed is found under the canopy of God's grace and word. Luther suddenly discovered his greatest treasure. It had been present all along, but only after the light bulb came on did he seriously consider the assurances of the Apostle Paul's epistles that it is salvation by faith through grace alone. There is no doubt, with the threat of excommunication and possible death, that Luther feared for his life. And however, Luther did not fear for his soul by knowing and appreciating the freedom of trusting, that trusting God had always been there. Luther led the way for the other reformers such as Zwingli and Calvin, and even old Henry VIII of the famous Six Wives. He also had his own version of the Reformation in England. And so, you know, it's interesting that they took different shapes and forms. And it wasn't a pleasant time to live in, because a lot of people died. You know, as the atheists will like to confirm, that most deaths and wars have been brought on by religion. There's some truth to that, but not necessarily everything with truth in that. But the same truth frees and motivates us for the challenges of life encountered daily. What would you do without your faith? Could you face tomorrow? Do you ever think about those days when you do have difficulties and problems? And I'm not talking just financial. What about health issues? A lot of times, yes, we rely upon medicines and doctors to help us, and that's wonderful. God sends them to us. But if you didn't have faith that you believe God was going to help you, what kind of despair would you really be in? And that makes everything come together to know God's truth works. It is not fake nor false. And I will defend it as Luther defended his faith, because faith is what makes the world go round. It's what motivates us to do what we can to make that world a better place. It must be believed that Jesus Christ is the author of truth. Christ's presence is made real every Sunday through the power of the, it's found in the hymns, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and the sermon. And a lot of times it's not in that order either. But that's what is provided. You know, Christ in the scripture here talked to these new disciples who had come out of the Jewish religion, and he knew that they were struggling. He knew what they had faced in the past, and that some were still slaves to sin. But he wanted to make it clear that he came to free them from the bondage of imprisonment of sin. And that is what we have to realize too. We're no longer captives of something that imprisons us. And that should give us confidence to move on and to realize that if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for the rest of the world. But when we come to know in our lives that Christ will never forsake us nor abandon us, that is what it's all about. The actual meaning and impact of this Reformation Sunday is through the faith that of the grace that God gives us. We are free to allow God to embrace us as there is discovered the inner peace that is part of our faith. How much could you put your inner peace up for sale? If you were going on Facebook Marketplace or even use the new Lakeland paper or Time Magazine, and you put an advertisement that says, I'm selling my faith. How much is it really worth? Well, the cost is inestimable. I mean, you're talking about something that has no price tag on it. And see, God, through Jesus Christ, paid the price. So we don't have to worry about selling our faith because it's already been paid for. So think about that and give your faith a shot in the arm that, hey, I'm much better off today than I was yesterday. And, you know, we are free to allow God to embrace us as there is discovered, again, that inner peace. For as long as people remain on earth, it must be acknowledged that there is liberty and everlasting life given to us by God. We'll live eternally in God's presence as citizens of His heavenly kingdom, which, unlike fictional terra plantation of Gone with the Wind, will never vanish. May all believe this, and in faith, may people find actual freedom because of the trust that God is the absolute truth which sets people free. Think about that. Ponder about that. Because you know what? We've lived yesterday. We're living today. And after all, tomorrow is another day. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the grace you have given us. Thank you for the people that we encounter as fellow Christians, that they know exactly where we're coming from. We give thanks, Lord, always, that there's always room more for people, regardless of their background or whatever it may be, that they know that you are there for them. And we pray, O God, that those in our community who do not know you, who pass by this church as well as a dozen others every day through the week, to know that you are truly the Lord of our lives and the head of this church. We give thanks always through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.